God is good all the time. So welcome to Bethel, man. We're glad you're here. How about that cool, crisp air this morning? Come on, y'all. Yeah, we're excited. Tell me, darling. You look good in them. You look cute this morning. Just saying. How about the worship team? Hillary was freaking tearing it up, and Marley up here singing for the first time. And so, yeah, it's good stuff. I love that we're keeping it in the family, because how many of you know one of our goals is to make family great again? Come on, somebody. And speaking of family, can I just let y'all in on a little secret if you're not on Facebook? Like, I know you don't believe this, but like, Darren is a stud, y'all. Because Katie Grace is pregnant. She's going to have a little baby girl one of these days. It's so exciting. And like, Darren's going to be a worser girl dad than me. He'll give her everything she ever wants. And then, just tell you, Kenzie and Connor going to have a baby too, y'all. So that's cool, man. There is nothing greater than one man and one woman coming together in the covenant of marriage and raising up children according to the word of God. Can I just tell you, young people, this is extra. This does not go in my sermon today. Do not count this time against me in my preaching if you're a timekeeper. But I'm telling you, there is nothing greater than marriage, and there is nothing greater than having babies and doing what God intended from the very beginning of time. If you are a young person, can I tell you something today? Hold yourself until you marry that perfect man or that perfect woman. And then when you marry that perfect man or perfect woman, have more babies than you can afford and raise them up according to the word of God. And let's there ain't nothing better than that, y'all. We're talking about fruit. There ain't nothing better than the fruit of the womb. Not loom, womb. Come on, somebody. Welcome to Bethel, man. Galatians 5. We're going to read Galatians 5 today. We're going to read verse 22 through 25. I hope that you've been hanging out in Galatians. I challenged you last week to read Galatians 5, 22 through 25. Let that be a part of your daily study. I would encourage you to do that again this week. Just be hanging out there and listening to the Lord. Galatians 5, 22 through 25. Let's read that scripture, and then we will pray and see what the Lord would challenge us with. Galatians 5, 22 through 25 says, "But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and the desires of their flesh to the cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives." Holy Spirit, speak to us. Holy Spirit, challenge us. Holy Spirit, we need you. Holy Spirit, we want to produce fruit that glorifies God, and we want to produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So move and speak to us today. We love you in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, so today we're going to dive off. Last week we talked about love, joy, peace. Today we're going to dive off into the next three fruits of the Holy Spirit: patience, kindness, and goodness. These three fruits of the Spirit, they're going to guide us as we live a healthy social life and as we have healthy relationships in our life. How many of you know it is God's will that we make an impact socially in the world that we live in? We don't talk about it much. We don't preach about it much. We don't teach people much about it. But we are not of this world, but we live in this world. And we have social interactions with people every day. We have social interactions with people that we work with. We have social interactions with people that we go to school with. We interact with people socially. And God has called us to be salt and light in a social relationship in this world. If you and I only shine the light when we come to church on Sunday mornings, we are not doing much good for the kingdom of God. You and I, as we live out a social life, have to learn to be salt and light, and we have to learn to love people that are not just like us. We'll talk about it more in a minute. We got to have a healthy social relationship, and then we have to have healthy relationships. How many know life is all about relationships? It's all about friendships. It's all about our marriage. It's all about our relationship with our children. It's all about relationships in the body of Christ. And if we're being honest and we're being real, this is where the biggest majority of the church miss it in life. We miss it with relationships. How many of you, don't raise your hand, how many of you struggle with relationships? You struggle with having real friends. You struggle with interacting with others socially. You even struggle with getting along in your marriage, and we struggle with getting along in our church. God has called us to have healthy relationships. Relationships. I love to preach about relationships. Connor makes fun of me, and he goes, "That's all you got, and that's all you preach about is relationships." Because relationships are so important. Do you know that the only thing that we're going to get to take from this earth to our eternal life in heaven is our relationships? You don't get to take your cars. You don't get to take your cattle. You don't get to take your horses. You don't get to take your money. But our relationships that we have on this earth and that are centered around Christ, when we get to heaven, we will know one another and we will know Jesus Christ. Our relationships are of most importance. And we struggle with relationships because here's the deal. In my opinion, the reason that we struggle with relationships, we don't teach it in the church. We teach people, okay, you know what? You know what, Doc? You are a sinner. You are far from God. Hergy, you're a sinner. We talk about in the church, we talk about how messed up we are and how we're sinful and how we need a Savior, and we come to Jesus Christ and how Jesus Christ was our Savior, and we can be forgiven and we can be born again and we can have eternal life, and then we stop teaching people right there. And then you and I have to go into this world, and when we live in this world, we're awkward in this world. How many know Christians are awkward? Come on, somebody. We're awkward. We don't teach people how to live in this world. We teach them, we get weird, we get religious, we get super religious, we get super spiritual, we get judgmental, we get selfish, and we forget that we have to interact with people that are non-believers every day. We have a social life, and let me read you some scripture. Matthew 5, when you look at the life, before I read you some scripture, let me say this. When you look at the life of Jesus, he had a really good social life. He hung out with church folk. He hung out with religious folk. He hung out with whoremongers. He hung out with whores. He hung out with sinners. He hung out with all these people, and he interacted with them on a social level, and he engaged with them, and he ultimately led them to the love of his Father. We have got to understand this. Matthew 5, verse 43 through 45. Matthew 5, verse 43 through 45. Jesus said, "You've heard that the law says, love your neighbor, but hate your enemy." Jesus said, "But I say to you, love your enemy, pray for those who persecute you. When you do that in that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven, for he gives his sunlight to both the evil and to the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike." You and I have to love people in a social aspect. Love them. Love them all. Love them, red, yellow, black, white. Love them, male, female, non-binary. Love them, they, them, he, him, she, her. Love them straight. Love them gay. We got to love everybody. Love them. Interact with people socially. Love all of them. Acts 2:46. I love the book of Acts. I love the book of Acts. It tells of the Holy Spirit falling, the church being birthed, there's revival taking place. Acts 2:46 says this, beyond church, beyond worship, beyond what's happening in the temple, it says this, Acts 2:46, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with gladness and generous hearts. They had relationships. They had relationships with people. It's so important, you guys. If we're going to have a good social life and good relationships, you know what we have to do? We have to learn to be selfless. Life is not all about you. We live in such a selfish world, and selfishness destroys our relationships, and selfishness destroys the example that we set in the social world. These people were selfless. They were servants. They served one another. They didn't want to be served, but they served other people. They put other people's needs first. They were not easily offended. Can you look at me? Look. We live in a world where people are so easily offended. If you can come to this church for a year and I can marry you and baptize you and bury your family, and I can say one thing that upsets you or offends you, and you will get mad and you will leave this church and you will badmouth me on social media and say I'm a horrible person. We have got to live in this world and not be so easily offended at everything everybody does or says. If you want to have a social life, quit being offended. Quit being a titty baby. Come on, somebody. Don't be offended. Be thoughtful of other people. If we're going to engage, relationships and our social life are so important. So you say, Cody, how do I succeed in this area? Here's the answer. The short answer is this, that we live in the Spirit and we produce the fruit of the Spirit. Specifically, we have to have patience, we have to have kindness, and we have to have goodness if we want to have good relationships and want to have a good social life. Let's talk about number one, patience. And everybody said, amen. Patience. Patience is the opposite of being short-tempered. How many of you struggle with being short-tempered? At the moment, thank you for being honest. You are the only honest person in this place, Bart. The rest of you, lie, lie, lie. Short-tempered. Short-tempered. You don't say what I want to say. You don't do what I want to do. God doesn't answer my prayers. It doesn't turn out like I want. You say, but boom, we'll just blow up and lose our crap. Come on, somebody. Short-tempered. Patience is the opposite of being short-tempered. Patience is being long-tempered. Like it takes a long time for me to lose my crap. Patience is the ability, look at me, look. Patience is the ability to deal with other people even when that's not easy to do. It's the ability. And do it in a way that produces the fruit of the Spirit. Psalm 103:8 says this, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. God is slow to anger. God is slow to be angry at you and I when we don't get it right. I just wonder how much better off we would be if we were slower to get angry around the people, with the people around us. What if we were as slow and compassionate as God is, if we were that slow to get angry with the people around us? If our relationships would be better, just chill. Chill out. Don't lose your crap. It ain't all about you. Have you ever lost your temper and it turned out in a good way? Aren't you glad God doesn't lose it with me and you when we make a mistake and he doesn't holler at us and he doesn't condemn us and he doesn't talk down to us and make us feel stupid? Chill out. Chill a little bit. Have some patience. When we lose our patience, and I'm preaching to me, it comes from totally living in our flesh and making it all about us and not caring about anybody else around us. That's what it is. We don't live in the flesh. We got to quit living in the flesh. We got to start living in the Spirit. When we lose our patience with our spouse, anybody? Been there. Don't leave me hanging. Don't act like. Come on, somebody. So here's the problem. Most of the time, we lose our crap and we lose our patience with the ones that love us and support us the very most. We will be so patient with everyone else. We will be so patient with people that really don't matter. But at the minute that our parents, the minute that our kids, the minute that our spouse offend us or upset us, we will lose it all and we'll be short-tempered and lose our patience. When we lose our patience with our parents or our children. How many of you lose your patience with your children and you spew these things out of your mouth and you say these things to them that defeat them and whip them and make them feel horrible like they're not good? Anybody know what I'm talking about? You and I, as children of God, we got to be careful. What about this one? I love this one because there's so many cowboys and there's so many horsemen here in this place. What about when we absolutely lose our patience when we're working cattle or when we're riding a horse? I have no idea how many people came to the door after first service and said, one couple came to me and said, this lady said to me, "We are working our calves this afternoon. I will let you know how good my husband did with his patience." We lose our crap with a horse and we'll take our rope down and whip them between the ears. Come on, somebody. Patience. We got to practice patience. It's not always easy. This is much harder for some of us than it is in others. But let me know this. Whatever we practice, we become good at. Whatever we practice, we become good at. Like I like to preach, I like to cook, and I like to rope. And those three things I'm pretty good at. I'm pretty good, decent preacher, pretty good cook, and can rope something around the neck. I practice it because I worked hard at it. How many of you know it would be a game changer in our life and would be an improvement if we practiced patience, if we were aware of our short-temperedness, if we were aware of the damage that our temper did? What if we practiced every day, every moment, "I am going to be patient"? We would get better at it. And how many know our relationships would be better? Social life and relationships, I'll say this and I'll move on. Hot-headed, short-tempered people will always struggle with their social life and with their relationships. Always. Hot-headed, quick-tempered, short-tempered people will always struggle with social life and our relationship. How do we overcome that, Cody? It's the short answer, and the simple answer is this: walk in the Spirit, not your flesh. Allow the Holy Spirit to empower you. First one is this, patience. The second one, this is kindness. How many know we can be kind, even us men? Come on, y'all. Jennifer, if you say amen, I'm throwing my iPad at you. Kindness. Kindness just means this. It means being soft-hearted. How many struggle with being hard-hearted? Soft-hearted, being mild, being helpful, being considerate. How many know it's amazing to me how unkind the church world can be sometimes? I know we don't want to talk about that, but sometimes you and me, the body of Christ that go to church on Sunday and gather in worship, we can be so unkind to people. And I told this story years ago, probably 12, 15 years ago. We were doing a series at church and we were talking about how the church was supposed to be interacting socially with people. And so there was two restaurants open in this town and one open in Stanford. And I called the owners of those restaurants and I said, "I'm curious about what your wait staff thinks about the Sunday afternoon crowd, about the church crowd." I said to the owners, "Can I come and spend some time interviewing the waiters and the waitresses? I'll just take a little bit of their time. I want to talk to them about how the Sunday afternoon church crowd teaches them." And every owner that I called said, "Oh, yes, please come down here and hear what my wait staff has to say." Overwhelmingly, two restaurants in this town and one restaurant in Stanford. And you know what they said to me? The Sunday afternoon crowd, the church crowd, are the most demanding crowd that we have 7 days a week. The most demanding. You and I, you know what else they said? They are absolutely the rudest people we deal with all week long. This is not what I said. I'm not making this up. This is what the wait staff said. "We have been to church. We have carried our Bibles. We have worshiped God. We have pretended to be holier than thou on Sunday. And we leave the church and we go and we're the rudest to the wait staff at the cafe." You know what else they said? "They're the worst tippers of all." Something is wrong with that scenario, y'all. God has called us to be kind to a waiter or a waitress that's working for $2, $3, $4 an hour and depending on tips, and we have no idea what kind of family life they have at home, and we have no idea that she is a single mom doing the best she can to make a living, and you and I show up in our Sunday clothes and we're unkind to those people? We gotta understand God has called us to be kindness and that we're filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 4. I love to read Ephesians. It's the book that Paul wrote. Listen to me. Paul addresses issues with the church because they are issues with the church. Paul writes and talks about kindness because even the church of Ephesus was being unkind. Ephesians 4, 31 through 32. Paul says, "Let all your bitterness," he's writing to the church, "let all your bitterness and your wrath and your anger and your clamor and your slander, let it be put away from you along with malice. Verse 32, be kind to one another. Be kind. Paul wrote that because the church was being unkind. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgive one another as God in Christ Jesus has forgiven you. I just believe kindness will change our world. Be kind to your wife. And all the women said, all the wives said, be kind to your children. And all the children said, be kind to your parents. And all the parents said, be kind to the people you go to church. Just be kind. Just be kind. Yeah, that's not asking of much. You never know. Listen to me. Look. Everybody that you and I come in contact with, they are fighting some battles that you and I know nothing about. They're going through some struggles just like you and I are, and our kindness can just help them out right where they are. Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath. How many of you know if you and I would just settle down and give a soft answer? A kind answer. It'll change everything. You say, Cody, how do I be more kind? Let me give you some examples. How do I be more kind? Just smile a little bit more. Joe, please smile. Joe, come on, Joe. Smile a little bit more, Briley. Smile. Billy, smile a little bit. Just smile. How many know a smile changes? Like a while ago, I was down here, and Marley's up here singing, and Marley's nervous, and Kai and Cole ain't here, and I just look up at her, and she looks at me, and she just smiles. And I was like, man, that makes you, it's just cool. You know what I mean? I woke Clara up this morning, Jennifer, and curled her hair last night, and I woke Clara up this morning. I said, baby, your hair looks so cute. It's so curled. She just smiled at me. It's a game changer. Just smile. Smile changer. I have no idea what it's like to preach to a congregation who's all smiling, but I bet it would make a preacher feel good. Just smile. Just compliment others. Just compliment them. Katie Grace, you look cute, pregnant girl. Go, yeah. And where's Hillary? Where's Hillary at? She's like, God, I love that shirt you got on, that horse stopping. Looks good. Just compliment somebody. Just compliment them. It's kind. Listen with your full intention. Put down the phone and listen to the people with full attention that are around you. Listen to people. Forgive quickly. Think before you speak. Morgan Freeman said this. How do we change the world? Morgan Freeman said, we change the world one random act of kindness at a time. How many know kindness would change the world? We need more patience. We need more kindness. And the last thing we'll talk about today is we need more goodness in the world. Goodness, just being good. Just doing good. Just doing what is right. Doing what is right towards others. Do what's right. Psalm 37:3 says, trust in the Lord and do good. We got this trust in the Lord thing down. Come on, y'all. Like, I trust the Lord for my past. My past is a wreck. My past is dysfunctional, but my past is under the blood of Jesus Christ. I trust God for right now. God is on my side. If God be for me, who shall be against me? I trust God right now to empower me. I trust God for my future. For my future is an eternal home in heaven where there's no sickness and there's no sadness and there's no sorrow. I trust God. You and I, we got the trust God thing down. Now let's work on the deal of doing good. Trust God and do good. Do good. Do good. Ephesians 2:10. I love the scripture. Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's workmanship. Emma, you're God's workmanship. Sneed, God's workmanship. Nate Dick, God's workmanship. Doc, God's workmanship. Brittany, God's workmanship. For we are God's workmanship. We're created in the image of God. Before we were in our mother's womb, God knew us. God formed us. God had plans for us. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. You get that? Cassie, we were created for good works. You and I, we're created, Shelley, for good works. which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We're created for good works. Do good works. Do good works. You don't need to be told what's good. You don't need to be told what's right. You have a conscience. The Holy Spirit convicts us. Don't pretend you know what's good. I know what's good. And we just got to do what's good and what's right. Ephesians 5:9, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. How many would agree with me we need more light shined in this world we live in? How many agree with me we got enough darkness? Darkness is everywhere. You know what drives back darkness? The light. Turn the light switch on. It's the most simple example ever. You can walk into this sanctuary on Monday morning and it is dark and there is no light. You flip the switch, the light comes on, and the darkness flees. You know what will drive darkness? When you and I begin to do what is good, what is right, and what is true, and it will drive back darkness in our marriages. It will drive back darkness in our relationship with our children. It will drive back darkness when our government does what is good and right and true. When our school system begins to do what is good and right and true, it will drive back darkness. Goodness, just do what's good. How many know there's a feeling of satisfaction when we choose to do good, especially to others? You ever watch a child and they do something wrong, and immediately you can tell by the look on their face they know they screwed up and they knew it was wrong? But when a child does right, when a child obeys their parents, when a child does what they're asked to do, there is a satisfaction that comes over them, and they know that they did good. There's a satisfaction there. If you and I want to make an impact socially and we want to have good and greater relationships, we got to practice patience, kindness, and goodness. Conrad, come help me close this thing down. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes as the worship team comes up. The fruit of the Spirit. Let me just remind you, our social life matters. The way that you conduct yourself, the way that you speak, the way that you act, and the way that you treat others outside of this church house is a direct representative of how mature you are in your relationship with Christ. It matters. It matters. And you and I have to interact with all kinds of people every day and every moment in our home and outside of our home. Our social life and our relationships matter. I'm going to be real honest with y'all. I know a lot of people in a lot of churches that are full of people, and they love Jesus, and they're saved, but they suck at relationships. They suck at it. They're demanding. They're over the top. They're a little much. They're awkward. They're weird. And you and I got to connect with Jesus and know that we connected with him so that we can connect with others and meet them right where they are and show them patience. Patience. Holy Spirit, speak to us about our patience. About being short-tempered. About losing our stuff. Let us have patience, Lord, as we experience daily life. Let us practice patience. Let us know that you are not just going to, boom, give us patience. That we got to practice patience. We got to practice it. That when we pray for patience, you're going to send a situation along that will drive us nuts. But we got to choose to practice it. You're going to send people along, make us crazy, but we got to choose to practice patience every day. Lord, let us be more patient in our homes, in our marriages, and with our children, with our friends. Just be patient. Let us be more kind, God, more soft-hearted, especially towards the ones that we love. Let us understand the soft answer. Well, turn away wrath. Just be kind, considerate of others, and help us to learn and to practice the act of goodness, just doing good things, doing what's right. Lord, help us to understand this, that if we produce the fruit of patience, kindness, and goodness, our impact will be great. Give us a desire to live a life full of impact. That would impact our marriage, impact our children, impact our co-workers. A life that would impact others. When we choose patience, kindness, and goodness, let us know our impact will be great. Let us understand that when we choose patience, kindness, and goodness, people will love us to a fault. They will love us. They will be loyal to us. They will support us. Help us to know that when we practice patience and kindness and goodness, people will want to be close to us. Help us to know that when we practice patience and kindness and goodness, that God the Father will smile down on us. Let us know that when we practice patience and kindness and goodness, God the Father will be glorified in our lives. And if God is glorified in our lives, the blessings of God will rest upon us. Speak to us, Holy Spirit, challenge us in these three areas today, Lord. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on.